talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go, it's a Getaway Friday here, Friday, August the 4th, 2023, first Friday in the month of August, 16 minutes past the hour, and we've got a full house here for the Exchange Club. Matt Morgan, Pastor Craig, and Sean Craig.
Well, why am I late?
Trying to do an intro, if you don't mind. We got a lot of ground to cover.
Oh, Lord.
All right, we got a top 10 list this hour. We've got tickets to give away to Jeff Dunham and the Dublin Irish Festival and the performer on Saturday at the Ohio State Fair, who is Lindsay Sterling. We've got current events to talk about, which is what the hallmark of this show is and always has been. We've got so much to do, and we're going to start with our topic. Oh, and tonight, don't miss the show tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m., the biggest show in Friday night history. More panelists on tonight's show than ever before. Matt Morgan, Sean Kraft, Pastor Craig, myself, and one other person will be joining us tonight, and it's going to be a humdinger from 8:15 to 10 p.m. Are you excited, Matt?
Always.
Pastor, are you excited?
Absolutely. Such a big show, we got to go 2 hours.
2 hours. History made tonight. Sean?
Okay.
Yeah. That's about the size of that. That's why you're last. You want to know. That's why you're last in the rundown. All right. For the Jeff Dunham tickets to get entered into the drawing, which we will do the drawing at the end of this hour, the category is...
Name something you'd find at a breakfast buffet.
Name something you'd find at a breakfast buffet. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Something you'd find at a breakfast buffet. Could be Jeff Dunham tickets. Could be Lindsay Sterling.
Could be Sean Kraft.
Could be. I would not mind that. Could be Dublin Irish Festival tickets. Could be anything here on the Exchange Club. Now, before we get into the top 10, which we got to remember to do here, the current event that we started talking about at 10 o'clock this morning, oh, we're already getting a call, so let's go to the phones and let's see if we get a correct answer. Go ahead, caller.
Biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits and gravy.
No biscuits and gravy on the list.
No biscuits and gravy on the list. It's because we get that blower in the background. I can hear that blow. 740-383-9944. No biscuits and gravy on the list. Things you find at a breakfast buffet.
I won't be going to that one.
Yeah, I know. Biscuits and gravy are my favorite.
I don't like biscuits and gravy at all. I don't like gravy on anything.
Oh. Why?
I just can't stand it.
I love gravy.
It's flour and grease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no,
yeah,
exactly. No. That's not good for you.
Nothing like a West Virginia good old biscuits and gravy.
Well, I can tell you've had a few. Go ahead. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Bacon.
Bacon.
Bacon is number two.
All right. Who's this on the line?
Miranda Hundley.
Miranda, we got you. How many people listening were you at, Art?
Just me and my coworker Delia.
All right, well, you two are out there. Thanks.
Thank you.
Miranda and Bacon. All right, 740-383-99. That's her answer, wasn't it?
Yeah, Bacon, but I thought you said Miranda and Bacon.
Well, that's what she said, and Bacon.
Okay.
Golly. Go ahead, caller.
Bacon.
We just got Bacon. We just got Bacon. Bacon, very popular. Bacon. Things on a breakfast buffet, 740-383-9944. Okay, the topic before we went to break there was, what were we discussing? Oh, I know what we're discussing. How many, we're going to talk more about this tonight once we get a woman in here, but we'll start with both topics we were talking about. How many divorces can you have before we really don't believe anything you say anymore when it comes to love? Now, Pastor Craig, you overheard this conversation, but didn't get to give your opinion. And give us a little opinion here this afternoon.
One divorce, I understand. A second divorce, okay, you know, maybe you made a bad choice off coming off the rebound. But when you're going into that third relationship after two divorces, I'm going to be start questioning. And the odds are probably against you. Nothing against you, but the odds are stacked against you. So I kind of think that if you struck out twice, you probably shouldn't try a third time.
You know, why more baseball players don't realize this, I'll never know. Go ahead, caller.
Pancakes.
No pancakes on the list.
No pancakes on the list. My goodness gracious. So
can I say something?
Could I stop you?
No. What about, okay, say the marriage. Okay, say your wife's die. Two of them die. So that's different.
That's not a divorce. It's not a divorce when they die.
That's different.
Yeah. We're talking about divorce, not death. Two different Ds.
Yeah, most of the time.
What do you think, Matt?
I think most of the time, if you marry two separate people and both of them die,
I think you're going to be a suspect.
Yeah. Look at you, funny. Well, I mean, but why, again, in the eternal words of our friend Matt, this is the one. I mean, what can you do?
Because I think a lot of people want to make that on their own.
Yeah, but after four, five, six tries, listen, start saying something else.
No, four tries.
Say, maybe this will work. Go ahead, caller.
Eggs
is number one.
All right, eggs, we got you down. Thanks. Eggs, we got it. All right. Jeff Dunham tickets or Dublin Irish Festival tickets or whoever that other person is on Saturday night. Miranda, what was her name? Does anybody even know who this is? Lindsay Sterling.
I don't know who that is.
Well, Saturday night, she'll be performing at the Ohio State Fair. 740-383-9944.
I mean, she's got to be pretty big. It's Saturday night.
Closing night.
I know.
Yeah.
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her.
A violinist.
Oh, well, that packs them in.
I mean, yeah.
You know what? They probably did that because it's the last night. They got to start cleaning up.
Might be. Leave a lot of room there. Lindsay Sterling, tickets to the Dublin Irish Festival, and Jeff Dunham tickets. And you can enter as many times as you like. Now, the category, again, is...
Name something you'd find at a breakfast buffet.
Or if you want to break into this subject, that we're how many times can you be divorced before we get skeptical of you? Now, so you were talking about death. So divorce is...
Divorce?
How many times?
Divorce is probably two.
Two?
I think two.
So we've all said two. You get two divorces.
After the third one, I start becoming suspicious.
After the third one?
Well, so like...
The third one.
Yes, by the third one, I should say.
Wedding.
Yep.
Yeah. If you're getting married three times, but what if the third one ends in divorce? Then what do we think of the person?
I went from suspect to I'm just like, no.
Well, at what point do you have to have self accountability?
If you get divorced for the third time, you really have to seriously take a look at yourself.
Yeah, and say, what am I doing wrong? Am I really this big an airhead?
Either I'm the problem. Or my selection process of people is a problem.
Probably need to go to...
Yeah, but see, I don't think selection process will work because if you have a poor selection process, you probably don't know how to fix it.
You probably need to go to Mary's counseling.
Well, you need to go to self-counseling.
I'd say it's more about the person than other people.
I think after the second one, before you get into the third one, I think you should probably start looking at yourself.
But people just keep on going, huh?
What if it's not yourself?
It's probably...
You know what the old slogan is? It takes two to tangle.
Yeah, but how many twos have you been with? You didn't marry the same person three times.
I'm just saying, though. I mean, it might not be yourself. It might be the other person. So I think if you go to...
But the other person, but we're talking about three other people. You think it's been three other people and not you?
Well, maybe the other person is the one to follow the divorce.
What you're saying, one other person.
You mean if I follow the divorce three times?
No, I'm saying there's got to be three other people is what I'm saying.
You've been divorced three times, so that's three other people.
But is it my fault or her fault?
Well, you need to seriously look and say, it may be my fault. You know, two out of three of these may be my fault, if not three out of three. You need to
go to counseling, right?
Right. That may help you is some counseling, not marital counseling, self-counseling, you know, individual for you. Figure out what's wrong with you.
And tell her to go to counseling, too.
No. You're not marrying the same person three times. It's three different people.
Right.
So you get, basically, you want to get a group discount.
Well, you're going to call four people.
If I got married three times, I would tell my last wife and I would call my other two wives and say, listen, I think you guys need to get counseling.
Yeah, but maybe they haven't got remarried
just saying,
all these times.
You never know. I don't know. Depends on the situation.
No, I think you need to say, I need some counseling. There's a reason why three different women have not stayed married to me. That you need to say that. You got to be, you know.
Or why have I ended all these things? Right. Why are my choosing skills so flawed? Maybe it, you know, what? Maybe it's me, not them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what you got to say at some point. Look in the mirror and see what's wrong with you. Don't you think?
I think that's the best course of action for most things.
To look in the mirror?
Yep.
I think so.
If you don't like the results, they're your results.
I like looking in mirrors.
I can believe that. I don't know. I just think at some point you have to look at yourself and you got to say, maybe I am not the problem. Or maybe they are not the problem here. Maybe I am the problem.
I had to do that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you had to look in the mirror?
Yeah, I had to look at the mirror and say, why do I have the problem staying married?
Oh, really?
So, you know, I mean...
So it was your fault?
I can honestly say, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's self-reflection.
Yeah.
Now, knowing that, what would the future hold?
The future holds either A, not getting into a relationship, period, or B, if I'm going into a relationship, I have a much better understanding of what my problems were that led to those problems.
Oh. But what about marriage?
I would probably not consider it.
Now, without being too personal here, what was the biggest part of the self-reflection? Why were you marrying often?
That was what the self-reflection was, and what it came down for me is I realized that as soon as one relationship ended, I was looking to get into another one.
Now, is that to heal?
Possibly, yeah.
And, I think that's a lot of it.
And I could see a pattern. Even going back to, you know, when I was first dating in college and going back, every time a relationship ended, I felt a need to find another relationship right away. And so,
rebound,
you know,
like a rebound relationship?
Yeah. And I mean, and I could see that all through my life.
Wow.
And so, you know, so basically it was like the light bulb went on, you know. I wasn't taking the time to find out if this was, quote, the right person. No, I wasn't taking the time to really get to know the person and really let the relationship develop. I was done with one, and I was ready to jump in with another.
Now, see, that's an interesting point, because we had the topic a few weeks ago with Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson, where she looks back after her marriage to Kanye West, and she went right into a relationship with Pete Davidson, and now she regrets that relationship because she says it was just a rebound relationship, mm-hmm. because she was not in the right frame of mind. She was lonely. She was unhappy because that relationship had ended, and it really wasn't anything with Pete Davidson. It was just to take her mind off what was going on. So that brought up a question a couple weeks ago, is how long do you need to wait for a relationship to end before you go into another one?
Well, I can only speak for myself. And I don't think it's necessarily any set amount of time. But what you need to do is you need to be able to be comfortable being by yourself.
There you go. But that takes time.
Right.
You can't do that in a month.
Right. No, exactly. You can't do it in a month, and you can't do it in 2 months, and you can't do it 3 or 4 months.
So there is a time, though.
Yeah, so there is a time. And it's basically taking time to be okay being single, be okay being alone. And then after that, you know, I guess you can say it'd be safe to get into another relationship, but the biggest problem is you don't want to go out looking for a relationship.
Well, but some people will pursue you, though.
Right.
So I think, to me, I think it should be 6 months. That, I mean, they can pursue you, and you can visit people, and you can hang out with your friends, but if you can't do that for 6 months, then I think, you know, there's maybe a little issue there.
Right.
What do you think, Matt? How long after a relationship ends? I'm talking about time. Don't give me there is no time frame. A time that you need to wait before the next one starts.
I think it goes based off of the person.
But see, that's you're ambiguous there, because a week? You know, that's not normal.
I mean,
we're gonna think you're a putain if you're only waiting a week.
I guess it just depends on how how long and how serious the relationship was. Like, it could be, I don't know, a minute. Like, at least, like, 6 months to a year.
Okay, let's say it's been more than 6 months or a year. How long do you need to wait to get in the next relationship?
I mean, I think if, like Pastor Craig said, if you are comfortable being by yourself within that 6 months to a year, I mean, I don't see the issue with it.
So, if you've been in a relationship for a year, you need to wait 6 months before the next one.
I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know what an average, length relationship is. So, I mean, I'm not sure.
No, I'm just saying, if you have been in one for a year, let's say you've been in a relationship for a year, okay, how long do you need to wait after that year relationship ends to get in another one?
A while. I mean, I'm not sure.
But what is a while in your world?
I think you should have to figure out why it ended and whose fault it truly was. It could be both of yours. It could be yours. It could be hers. Like, you just have to... I think you should just really understand the situation before you try a new one.
Okay. Sean, what do you think?
5 years.
5 years.
Because, you know, 5 years, that'll give you enough time to get comfortable in yourself, living on your own, and...
What does it say if you relationship hop? You know, if it's one to the other, to the other, to the other.
I think that your happiness, or at least I think that you think your happiness relies on the happiness of somebody else.
Bingo. That's it. You cannot be happy with yourself, so your happiness is dependent on another person. And as long as that's the case, you will never be happy.
That's right.
And that's probably why you're relationship hopping.
I think that if you can't be happy by yourself, what makes you think that somebody will be happy with you?
Exactly. And in the end, they're not happy with them. That's probably why you're going from relationship to relationship. You know, everything is temporary. As one of the callers said earlier, when you meet somebody, everything is new. It does become mundane after a while. Every relationship becomes mundane because it's not all jumping out of cakes every day. But at one point, it does become mundane. Now, can you sustain that mundane relationship, or do you need the excitement of something new, and are you really naive enough to believe that that newness is going to stick around for the duration of your life? I mean, that's naive. Everything gets mundane at one point.
Yeah, everything that you spend a significant amount of time doing, you will get bored of at some point.
Right, and mundane does not mean bad. How many times do you go to a restaurant and you see a couple that's clearly together, both on their phones, not talking to each other? That relationship has become mundane, but they're still talking to, they're still together. That's the good part. Right. But if somebody else slipped in there, you never know. That's the problem. Now, the other question we had earlier is, what is an affair? Apparently, we could not come to terms on that. What is an affair? What do you make, Sean?
Well, I mean, affair is different ways. I mean, different things. I mean, you can have an affair on texting, internet, and, you know.
See, I don't think you can.
I think you can. I think it happens all the time.
What is an affair on the internet? What is an affair on the internet?
Well, affair on the internet is you start talking to the other person while you're married.
Okay, but you can talk to a lot of people on the internet.
Eventually, you meet up.
Okay, well, that's different. I'm saying strictly on the internet.
If you're having an affair on the internet, you have the affair on the internet, then you meet up.
But what's the affair? Just talking to somebody?
Crossing the line.
I think it's more like flirtatious talking.
Yeah.
Well, what's that?
Oh, you're beautiful, or... you know, let's go out on a date sometime.
I don't think
that's
you
what
ask,
they do as an affair.
Well, if you ask a married person out on a date, I think that's in the married person's category to say, no, I'm married. I don't think that's necessarily on you.
Well, no, I disagree on that. I think...
You're not married.
Yeah, but you should not hit on another married woman.
It depends on the circumstance, I think. Does the other person know that the one person is married?
Apparently.
Then in which case, I think you just... I don't think it's...
Why can't you say no?
I mean, you could say no. I just don't know why you would ask to begin with.
You shouldn't do that. Well, I know that person's married.
Well, listen, if you're not married, I don't know that you're having an affair.
See, there's a difference between, like hanging out, but if they specifically asked you on a date, that's not good.
That's crossing the line, isn't it?
But if you were just like, would you like to hang out? Or like, would you just like to do this?
Right. So what is that?
That's just hanging out.
Right. Okay, well, see? But people are going to read that different.
When you say something is a date, it puts, I guess, an emphasis on it.
Well, who's going to do that, really? Now, people might say, do you want to hang out? Now, they might have different intentions in their mind on what hanging out is. I don't think anybody's just going to directly ask a married person for a date. Who's that stupid?
And I think when you say, let's go out for lunch or dinner and stuff like that, I think the spouse should know about it.
Well, tell them. Yeah. That's not the person's responsibility who's going out. That's the wife or the husband's responsibility.
Yeah, it is. But I'm just letting you know, it happens all the time, though.
Well, I don't understand how that's the third party's problem.
Well, you know that person's married, so you might want to say, hey, make sure you tell your husband or wife.
I don't think that's your responsibility.
No, I agree with Scott. I think that if somebody asked a married person to hang out, it's up to the married person to relay that information to their significant other.
Yeah, but see, now here's a problem as well. Let's say you go to your husband or wife and say, I'm going to go hang out with blah, 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 and the husband or wife says no. Now, what's that? I'm being honest with you. I'm telling you what I'm going to do.
Well, maybe that person doesn't have trust in the other person.
Well, then you got a problem in your marriage.
Yep. Right. Yeah, it's a trust issue.
Right.
So, really here, what is the issue?
The issue is trust.
Yeah. The issue is trust. So then should you dump the husband or the wife and go with the other person? Because this person clearly doesn't even trust you.
Well, I think that's part of the problem in these affairs. They don't be honest with their spouses and say, hey, I don't want to be with you anymore. That's why I'm hanging out with this one and doing, you know, I'm done with you. People don't tell them.
But there are friends. You've got to have. You cannot be suctioned into one person all your life.
No, I'm talking about an affair.
Right.
Affair is not a friend. Affair you're having a relationship with.
Right. But you know what? There are many people who go the other way who get accused of having affairs who really are not having affairs. Well, just because they're this different sex. You know, it's a man and a woman hanging out. All of a sudden, that's an affair. If I guarantee you, if it was a woman and a woman or a man and a man, the other person wouldn't give it a second look.
I mean, saying those are out there, but the numbers are higher that people are having an affair, not just because they're just hanging out.
I don't think that's true because, well, you know what? I think it's what draws you to a friend? Somebody you like, somebody you get along with, somebody you laugh with, somebody who you have similar interests with. That doesn't mean you want to date them. I mean, what do you think, Matt?
I think that you are probably more inclined to date people you have a lot of similarities with. It makes sense that way.
But who are friends? How do you pick your friends?
Same concept, I guess.
Okay. So what's the difference? I mean, do you really have to say, okay, is this a woman? Is this a man? If it's a woman, and I have everything in common with her, I can't hang out with her because she's a woman. But if it's a man, I can.
I don't know. I don't think that.
I don't think that either. But I think there is boundaries that you have to do with the other sex. Like if you're going out with a married woman, even though she's your friend, there's boundaries that you have to make sure you don't cross and say and do.
Well, what are those boundaries?
There's different things. I mean, A, number one, you don't want to flirt with them because that's considered her having an affair.
I don't think flirting's an affair. What do you mean, so? Pastor Craig?
I've got a lot of thoughts on this, but
it's a deep subject.
The one thing, you know, if you're a married person and you want to have lunch with a friend, happens to be of the opposite sex, I don't have a problem with it as long as, you know, what is the reason that you want to have lunch with this person? You know, I mean, is it truly just a friend that you want to have lunch with, then you won't have any problem telling your spouse about it. If it's, you know, but if your motives are something different than just having lunch because they're a friend, then that's the starting of when you have a problem.
Right, but if you have no motives, what's the problem?
There's not a problem, and you should also not have a problem telling your spouse about it. And, you know, probably this person is a friend of both of you.
Could be, but not always.
Not always.
Not always. Because I think if you come in, I mean, if you have a friend for 5-6 years and you come into a marriage, that friend probably doesn't know your husband or wife.
Not at the beginning, but if they've been a friend before your relationship with the person that you're going to marry, as you're going through that process leading up to the marriage, I would think you would introduce them.
Oh, I think they probably know each other,
right.
But I don't know if they're friends.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think they would be having dinner separately. What do you think, Matt?
I don't know. I think that if... I mean, so long as there's information shared on all, by all parties, like if the husband tells the wife, and then they go hang out with whoever, I mean, that's fine. So long as there are no intentions of anything more. So long as it is just hanging out.
Okay, so then back to our original question, what is an affair?
If you go by the dictionary definition, an affair is a sexual relationship.
There you go. I go along with that. What do you think, Matt?
I guess I agree. There's no differentiation between like what you do with your friends and what you do with your significant other than that.
I think that's right. But you disagree with that.
I disagree with that. I think
even though the dictionary's against you on this one.
Take it up with Oxford.
I mean, you know, the dictionary's not always right. That's me and Britain.
Where are you getting your information from? Where are you pulling it down from?
So, what I'm saying, though, is I think if you cross the line on texting, on a telephone call, and you're knowing that you're married.
But these are androgynous terms you're using. Cross the line. What is cross the line? If it's not physical, what is it?
Flirtatious.
Okay, what is that?
Well, I mean, if you, like I said, if you tell the, hey, I really like you, I always liked you, you know, I think you're hot, stuff like that. I think that's crossing the line, knowing that she's married.
I don't think that's an affair, though. I think that's their
and
point
then,
to say, whoa, I'm a little uncomfortable here with you calling me
hot. And then,
you
know, talk about, okay, let's go on a date sometime and stuff like that. That's,
but still, I don't believe that's an affair.
I believe it.
To ask somebody on a date? Is an affair?
When a married person is on the internet, we'll say they're playing euchre and they're going back and forth and they're flirting. Now they haven't met up yet, but eventually they're going to meet up, right?
Okay.
Well, that's considered having an affair on your spouse.
I don't think so.
I think it is.
What do you think, Pastor Craig?
Well, technically, it's not having an affair, but it is wrong because your intent is to have one, or you're leading up
yeah.
to that.
Yeah.
So that's where you get into, you know, what is your intent? Your intent is not good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what we were just talking about, isn't that?
Yeah.
Like, the intent.
It's intent.
Yeah, the intent.
But it's not an affair. And that's for the married person to jump in and say, whoa, I'm not comfortable with that.
Right.
I don't know. I look at it the other way. I think if you're going behind your spouse's back and having flirtations and setting up dates and stuff like that behind their back, I think I consider that as affair.
Well, I don't. I think those people are just extremely paranoid and probably shouldn't be in the relationship anyway.
Sounds like they got some more self-searching
yeah,
to
they
do.
Need, maybe they need to go to that therapist. Because you know what? The problem is if you can't have a friendship with somebody of the opposite sex without your marriage not crumbling, then your marriage isn't built on that strong ground to begin with.
Well, what happens is, like Pastor Craig, is in a danger zone. And eventually it's going to go to a affair. So that's why I think it's a full-on
affair. I don't think that's true, though, because, well, what if a woman? What if two women get together and the woman says, boy, you look really good today, to the married woman? Now, is that an affair?
By the I think it could be if the other person's setting up, you know, hey, let's go out and have dates and...
Not dates, I'm just saying. A woman tells another woman, you look nice, even though this woman's in a heterosexual marriage.
So it depends on the situation. I mean, if you're going into the detail and how long they've been talking, are they planning on going out later on?
But you never know that, I don't think.
Well, I know for a fact of... that just happened in one of my family members.
Okay.
And it ended up being a full-out
affair. When it gets to the full-out, then you can say it's an affair, but you cannot...
It started on the internet.
Well, it can start anywhere, but I'm saying it doesn't always end that way.
I don't likely it's going to end that way.
I don't think so, because you know what? At some point, you got to have morality yourself to say, I'm married. And if you want to go be with that other person, get a divorce.
Well, this person didn't do it.
Well, that's their fault.
And that's why I think affairs is happening way too much. Because if you don't want to be with somebody, I think you should just tell that person.
Going
on the internet and having flirting with somebody
else. Yeah, but I
hate
to tell you, the honesty here is probably has nothing to do with the other person. That person's not happy in that marriage. Doesn't have squat to do with the person who's...
Well, if they're not happy in that marriage, then tell them.
Right, but that's not on the third person is what I'm saying. The third person could be... anybody.
I'm not talking about the third person. I'm talking about the person that's in the relationship goes on the internet and it has
right.
an affair.
That's their business. That's what I'm saying. That's their problem. That's not the third person's problem.
No, I'm not the third person that's talking back. You mean talking back to the other person?
Well, the person who's not married in this equation, it's
not
their fault.
I'm not saying that. It's not, they're all their fault. I'm talking about the person that created the issue that is married.
Right, but, you know, if you go out and have dinner with them, how are you supposed to know if they're having trouble in their marriage?
Well, you don't know, on that, but I'm talking about the actual person that was married that is having the affair on the internet.
Well,
talking to the other third person.
Well, don't have an affair.
That's what I'm saying. I don't
know. A lot of people don't wear their wedding rings. A lot of people don't even know that person's married until after something already happens.
I don't know. I just think, I don't know, Pastor Craig, what do you think about this? I mean, don't you agree that affairs is happening way too often?
Oh, yeah. They're happening way too often, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what that has to do with having a friend of the opposite sex, which is where this conversation started. That's all I'm saying. What's wrong with that?
I didn't say there was anything wrong. I'm saying you have to watch what you say and what you do.
There's nothing wrong with having a friend of the opposite sex, but you need to be aware that it can lead to problems.
Yeah.
You just need to be conscious of that.
But would you say that of somebody of the same sex?
Especially nowadays, yeah.
I don't think people would look at it that way.
No, I don't think people would look at it that way.
And I think herein lies the problem. You're either willing to have an affair or you're not willing to have an affair. That's on you. I don't think it matters if it's a...
But the problem is it hurts the other person.
I think a divorce would hurt the other person. If they still want to be with that person, it's going to hurt them.
I mean, just like I said, it does come back to trust, but...
So the point is, listen, I hate to tell you, but if you are telling your wife or husband to do anything, pick their friends for them, say where they can go, who they can go with, what they can do, what they can't do, that marriage is not going to last very long, like it or not.
Right.
You've created an issue yourself.
Right.
So, you know what? Deal with that.
No, I don't think anybody should control anybody.
That's what that is, though. You're saying, I don't want you to have a friend that's of the opposite sex because it could go further. Well, if you believe that, if you believe she is going to be unfaithful or he's going to be unfaithful to you, that's your problem. It's not that third person. Do you have any evidence of this? If you don't have any evidence and you don't have any reason to not trust that person,
just
get off their back.
Just hire a private investigator.
I feel like
that's a good way to end a marriage, too.
I feel like if you hire a private investigator to follow your significant other around and find out information, if they find out, all of a sudden a huge trust barrier has been violated.
Yeah, absolutely. Pastor Craig, what do you think?
I agree with Matt.
Yeah, so the point is, you've got to have trust. That's the whole thing. If you don't trust, if you don't have trust in the person you're with, why are you with them? Period.
Well, when the internet came out when I was younger... And growing up, the internet was really caused all this mess. Because it's so easy when you, say you go online and play games with somebody. You know, and flirtations happen. And then, you know, they fall in love with that person on the internet. That's part of the problem. I understand what you're saying because you said they're probably not happy in the marriage.
How can you fall in love with somebody else if you are in love with this person?
I mean, it happens all the time.
You were shaking your head no, Pastor Craig.
Well, I was gonna say that the internet just maybe made it easier, boosted the problem a little bit. But this was a problem long before there was an internet. I mean, there's been this problem with people cheating on their spouse is a problem.
You know, here's something interesting we've never talked about. What if the family likes the person you're with and they don't like the way you're treating them? Then what do? Do you say something to your family member? Because you're stuck with your family member forever.
I think you would. I mean, I don't know. I think you'd. I think you'd probably have to like explain, like at least explain your feeling to the other person.
Well, I mean, if you treat somebody badly, maybe your family doesn't like that.
Yeah, but what if?
Well, it's none of the family's business.
But what if?
Oh.
But like, what if?
I don't know if that's true.
It's not.
Everybody's got an opinion.
Wait. Who's treating who badly?
If you're in a relationship and you're treating your spouse or significant other badly, and your family sees this happening,
right,
and they like you, and they also like the person you're with, and there is no affair going on or anything like that.
You're just treating them badly.
Yeah, you're just treating them badly, and the family says, listen, you know, somebody's got to be your reality check and say, listen, you're treating this person badly. Stop that.
I would hope the family would.
I hope they would, too. Now, you think they shouldn't.
Well, I mean, depends on, I guess I should ask you, it depends on what kind of badly you're talking about. Like physically and beating, you know.
No.
Doesn't have to be that
badly. I'm just saying you're not being nice to them.
Right.
Well, I mean, I guess the family can say something to you, but it's sure, in the long run, it's going to be your decision what you want to do anyway.
Well, it's always your decision, but should the family say anything?
Yeah, if they want to.
I mean,
absolutely.
I just think most, I mean, I guess I don't know, at least off the top of my head, I don't know any situations like that, but I think that I think if I was ever put in that situation, I think I would just determine that I didn't have all the information. There'd have to be a reason.
I don't think there's always a reason. I think some people are just rude. Some people just don't have etiquette. Some people just don't have the social mores of life. They're just
nice people. I would never be mean to my spouse or whatever.
You
have your disagreements. I would never just degrade her.
Nobody's saying degrade. I'm just talking about treat them badly.
What kind of badly? Give me.
Well, it could be any way you could treat somebody badly. You could ignore
like
them.
Dismiss.
I'm trying to tell you here. Ignore them. Dismiss what they have to say. Anything like that. Just be very dismissive.
Oh, well, I mean, what led up to that?
Maybe you're just a nasty person.
No, I mean, it's something might have been a lot.
I don't think everything has something behind it. Yeah. If that were true, it has to start somewhere.
I mean, something crumbled the relationship. Something caused it.
Well, sometimes it could be the person's own psychological problems.
It could be, but more likely, statistics is not showing that. It usually leads up to the...
I don't think that's right at all. You're going to cite me that statistic.
Yeah.
Go to that college and pull that argument.
That's right.
I don't think that's right. But what do you think, Matt?
I think that, I don't know, I've never been in a long-term relationship.
Aren't people just nuts?
Can't we just say that people are nuts? I guess.
Well, is that wrong?
People can be nuts.
I mean, aren't some people bipolar nuts?
Yeah.
People can be off the rocker.
I mean, there's that. There's...
I feel like a majority of the time, though, it is usually, I guess it would be, usually it'd be, like, your fault. Or, like, the person who broke it off. I think it's usually their fault.
Like your girlfriend breaks up with you?
So, like, sure. If my girlfriend broke up with me...
It's her fault.
I think that she, like, most of the time... I mean, I guess I could have been doing something, but I don't know. Most of the time, I feel like there's a problem there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess if it happens consistently, it's probably something with me.
Fair enough.
What?
What's on that breakfast buffet?
You know what's on that breakfast? Listen. Some people just are not psychologically there, and right. I think at some point you have to understand that they probably, one of the reasons for their foul behavior and their bad mood is because they are psychologically unstable, and they probably should get they should look at that.
Or something triggered it.
People can have some severe personality disorders that cause real problems, and they don't even realize what those personality disorders that they have. I mean, you know, but it can be diagnosed clinically.
Didn't we just start here at the beginning of this conversation and say that people are not comfortable on their own? They are not happy people themselves, right. So they have to count on somebody else right. to make them happy. Well, maybe one of the reasons you're not happy yourself is chemical. It's psychological. Maybe you need to look into that. Maybe it's not the other person making you unhappy. Maybe you're just an unhappy person, and every time you break into something new, it gives you that up because it's new, and it's exciting, and it's different, and when it hits mundane, it's over.
There could be, you know, traumas in your childhood.
Oh, absolutely, traumas in your childhood.
That cause you to react to, you know, situations a certain way, and subconsciously, it's because of that trauma, but from day to day, you're not recognizing that.
Right. What do you think, Matt?
So, you put a lot of blame on mental illness?
I think that a lot of people's behavior toward other people is mental illness.
I see, here, okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but I got to jump in on this before we run out of time. See, that's the problem. All these people that go around, do all these killings and all that, that's the first thing they jump to. Oh, mental illness. Bull crap.
Would you kill somebody? Would you murder somebody?
Yeah, but you know why?
You would?
No.
That's what you said. I'm asking you, would you murder somebody?
No, I would not murder somebody.
Why not?
That's just because I'm not a murderer.
Okay, but what are you saying there? Murdering people is what? Not normal.
What I'm saying, though, is if somebody murders somebody,
yeah.
doesn't mean they have a mental illness. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Nobody's saying they didn't know what they were doing.
We're
just saying that there's something wrong with you, because to murder somebody is not a normal act. You just said you wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. We're capable of doing it, just like anybody else. Why don't we?
And the people that murder somebody have too many things in their past in common for it to just be random.
Yes, and I think if you do an irrational thing, if you do something that is not common, and certainly most people in America or the world are not murderers, we have to wonder why you are thinking that's okay to murder somebody.
Then why don't I just take down all the prisons and then put all
nobody,
the...
Nobody said that.
No, hold on. Let me explain. Take down all the prisons, put all the murder people in a mental hospital. Because half of the narcissist people in that prison, 9 times out of 10, is either murderer, they're murderers, or maybe some of them are druggies. But I'm saying, put them all in the mental hospital then, if that's what the case is. Because obviously they murdered somebody, so that means...
If you murder somebody, you're not getting out of prison.
Then put them in a mental hospital, like they are all these other people.
Okay, now. As long as you're confined for the rest of your life, whatever.
I'm just saying, though. I mean, I think what it is that nowadays, that's the first thing we jump to the conclusion, that we say, okay, mental illness.
I would think that you have
now, what about all back in the old days? Because we didn't have that word, mental illness?
No, I think those people were as mentally ill. You think Charles Manson was normal?
what I'm saying, though, is, but now they didn't use mental illness on him until recently. Back in the old days, they just said, okay, he murdered, he wasn't, you know, they put him in prison. Slapped him in prison. Now we want to put all these people in these hospitals and try to rehabilitate them, and it doesn't do any good anyway.
Well, I don't think you can, I don't know that you, what are you going to rehabilitate a murderer for? They're going to be in prison for life. If you're convicted of murder in the first degree, which is what you're talking about, you're not getting out.
And then in 9 times out of 10, they're not putting them to death. They should get put to death.
Well, now that's a whole different, what's that have to do with mental illness?
I'm just saying, though. I mean, I think we jumped to this.
I think we just took a big jump there. I'm not sure what it was, but we jumped way far from what we were talking about.
No, I'm just saying, this mental illness, I hate when they throw this mental illness out. They blame it on all this, just because what they were doing.
I think, again, you just have to figure out why you would not murder somebody, but somebody else would. What's the difference between you and somebody else?
It's just common sense.
So why don't they have common sense?
Don't ask me.
There you go. And that's why we have to figure that out. What's the deal, Matt?
I think that if you... Man, I don't know. It was so much...
Yeah, I got whiplash on that conversation. That took such a nasty turn. That was whiplash.
Trying to compile it all. I think that Pastor Craig had a point when he said that, like, a lot of murderers and things like that have a lot of things in common. I'm not 100% sure, but I assume there are a decent portion of serial killers, murderers, that kind of thing, who end up in like psych wards, because I feel like if you kill somebody, at least 95% of the time, there's probably something mentally wrong with you.
What do you think, Pastor Craig?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are common factors. Doesn't mean just because you have one of those factors or a couple of those factors that you're going to be a killer, but what we see is that the people who are killers have a lot of these things in common. And unfortunately, many of those things can't really be treated successfully. They're just, the mental problems are like a serious defect in the person.
We have to do a top 10 list here very quick and then draw for our ticket winners. Time flies by. All right. Today's top 10 list from the Home Office in Columbus, Ohio. Top 10 reasons why Congress is having hearings into investigating UFOs. Oh, this is a big story. Top 10 reasons why Congress is having hearings investigating UFOs. Number 10, they received a report that there are stars on the moon. That's why they received a report that there are stars on the moon. Number 9, they believe UFOs are causing climate change. Number 8, because in 2020, the aliens submitted absentee ballots that weren't counted. Well, I've heard that, there's a lot of talk of that these days. Number 7, because one UFO had a bumper sticker that read, "Vote for Hunter Biden 2024. There you go. Again, top 10 reasons why Congress is having hearings investigating UFOs. Number 6, perhaps the aliens have a rejuvenating elixir that will keep the old-timers in office. Well, could be. You never know. Number 5, Representative Jim Jordan has a report from a whistleblower whose code name is ALF. You have to go way back for that one in the television world. Number 4, they want to invite the UFOs to join the U.S. Space Force. Well, that's nice of them. I think that's very nice. Number 3, they want to balance the budget by selling UFO rides for $250,000 per person. Well, I've heard little things that start off like that don't end very good. Top 10 reasons why Congress is having hearings investigating UFOs. Number 2, because they have already investigated each other at least twice. Well, that's probably right with Congress right now. And the number 1 reason why Congress is having hearings investigating UFOs, it's your tax dollars at work.
Oh, boy.
Good list. I think that was a good list. Very sharp list. Thank you, Bob. And tonight we'll have another top 10 list, and tonight's top 10 list is very interesting. Now, I'll give you the category so you listen tonight. Why wouldn't you listen? 8:15 to 10 p.m. Top 10 things Marion will not be famous for. Think about that. Top 10 things.
I know one. President Harding's statue.
So you think top 10 reasons things Marion will not be famous for. And tonight it'll be Pastor Craig, Matt, Sean, and myself, and a largest group in Friday night history tonight, 8:15 to 10 o'clock. You're not going to want to miss this. And I'm clearly going to delve back into these topics because we have not solved a darn thing in this particular hour. Have we?
No,
I don't think so.
We're going to keep working on it, and maybe a woman's opinion or a change of opinion at some point today on somebody's part will...
I disagree. I think we did solve something in this hour. Is that there's too many affairs happening.
I don't think anybody said there weren't affairs happening.
No, there's too many of them now.
Too many? What's too many?
Yeah.
Too many, too little, whatever. Tickets to Jeff Dunham, Lindsay Sterling, and Dublin Irish Festival. All right. Does anybody know who Lindsay... Let's start here. Does anybody know who Lindsay Sterling is and wants to go to her concert?
Player.
Give me a call. 740-383-9944. Or if you want to go to the Dublin Irish Festival, give me a call. 740-383-9944. Call quick, and then we're going to do the Jeff Dunham tickets here in... two tickets to see Jeff Dunham tonight in Columbus, Ohio at 7:30. The Lindsay Sterling concert is tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Celeste Center in Columbus, Ohio. And the Dublin Irish Festival goes on today, tomorrow, and Sunday in Dublin. And that should be a lot of fun. If you want tickets to either one of those events, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Okay. Now, tickets to the Jeff Dunham concert. We only have 2 entrants. And where did I write those down? All right. I am going to put a number next to each of these people's names. And, okay, We're going to guess a number between 1 and 10, and whoever comes close, all three, and then whoever comes closest is who's going to win. Pastor Craig.
3.
3. Matt.
7.
7. Sean.
5.
5. All right. That gives us 12. That gives us 15. So the winner is Rebecca in this competition. So 2 tickets. Rebecca, you got them to Jeff Dunham tonight. And I guess that's all for this show today. Blew right by, as it always does. And tonight we're going to come back and hash it out some more with some new topics, because who knows what will happen between now and 8 o'clock tonight, and we'll bring somebody else in tonight. And I'm sure this will be a show you don't want to miss for love nor money. And if you want tickets to the Dublin Irish Festival or Lindsay Sterling, let us know, because you can still get those tonight, because Lindsay Sterling is tomorrow at the fair, and the Dublin Irish Festival goes on all weekend long. All right, for Matt Morgan, Pastor Craig, and Sean Kraft, yes, you were last. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Down in 1821. By 1840, 570 people resided in the town. 6 years later, Marion boasted a population of 800 people, 3 churches, a private academy, 2 newspapers.